Today's episode is in memory of Spartan. You can find a cute photo of him on my Instagram at Nightmare Society Radio or my Twitter at Society_Radio. Hello again, Nightmare Society. I hope you all are well. I've gotten an influx of emails with story submissions recently, and they'll be coming in the next episodes. So if you haven't heard yours yet, don't worry, it's coming. Luckily, none of the submissions involved one sibling murdering another or any kind of quarantine-related violence, so good for you. I'd like to thank some of our new producers for this week's episode. Janelle Ross, Michelle Tate, and Diane Nolan, as well as our longtime producers, Danielle Newhouse, Ginger Cornejo, Mike to the D, Kat O'Hala, Devin Williamson, Savannah Segeda, and Pixel Donut, who also has a story featured in today's episode. So thank you so much, Pixel Donut. And thank you, user Zangon595, for sharing your story. My wife has been working from home, so she was able to assist me with some voice work, so thank you for that, wife. If you're interested in ways to support the podcast, I now have merch on nightmaresociety.threadless.com. Check the description for a link. I have to say, I think the designs are pretty cool. Also, you can join our members-only campfire at patreon.com/nightmaresociety. I'd like to also say hello and thanks for checking in to Unbound Soul and High Voltage. And last but not least, a huge thanks goes to our recent Apple reviewers, Skylar7551, VGLVZ, Optimus Primet, and Pitman66. It's really nice to have such great listeners, guys. I'm so happy to hear so many of you are enjoying the podcast. Anyway, enough with the niceties and on with the creepy. So, get comfy and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
Years ago, when I was still a teenager, my friend Justin and I would often go longboarding at night, as my friends and I were quite the night owls. We loved the freedom of almost never seeing another soul on the roads or the paths that we frequented. Even when using main roads, it would be very rare to see a car out late in such a rural area, and you could see and hear them coming from very far away due to their headlights and the noise of the vehicle disrupting the peaceful silence of the night. We were really into it at the time, and would often ride our boards for miles and miles, sometimes not arriving home until the sun was up. One particular night, we decided to ride a few miles away from our usual back roads to take one of our favorite hidden routes. It began with a narrow paved path that was the only piece of land separating two sides of a long lake. It would often sink under due to rain, and we wanted to seize the opportunity to use it before it rained and went underwater again. It was roughly 2 miles long and was extremely relaxing to ride through due to the scenery. After making it to the end of the lake, we decided to continue moving and turn into a very close path that leads directly to a densely wooded wilderness preservation. As we came up to the first hill, we looked down at the bottom into the blackness. We both noticed what appeared to be a tiny, moving ball of dim light down there. It moved so strangely, and it was extremely difficult to make out what it was. Rather than shine our flashlight down, we curiously watched it for a few moments, whispering to each other about what it could possibly be. All at once, that small light turned into multiple blinding lights and extremely loud revving sounds, overwhelming our senses that had become accustomed to the dark and the silence. Acting purely on fear, we instantly turned around and ran as fast as we could, hearing yelling and revving gaining behind us. By sheer luck, we managed to run off the path into a very dark, very overgrown hole in the side of a hill, overlooking where we had just come from. We decided to hide in the natural dugout of this hill, hoping the plants and darkness would be enough to protect us from whatever was happening out there. We watched our pursuers ride up to where we had originally been standing. There were four men, two on four-wheelers and two on full-sized motorcycles. They were yelling at each other about something, but we couldn't make out what they were saying due to the distance we had covered. We felt safe enough to whisper very softly to each other and speculated who these people could be. Our first thought was that they might be park rangers of some kind, although we had never seen one here in the many times we had been through, and honestly we doubted that this country had the budget or even the desire to have anyone patrol the deep woods at night. Besides that, these men were on vehicles entirely inappropriate for the paved bike trails, and they were very angry about something. They called out to us for a while, yelling things like,
"We know you're out there."
We stayed silent and decided to call their bluff instead of running. Eventually, we clearly heard one of the men yell,
"Find them! Now!"
and smash a bottle. That erased any hope we had that these were just park rangers. We watched them split up, each of them going a different way down the series of paths on their vehicles, including the path we came from. It took us what felt like ages to even move. We were frozen in terror inside the dugout, watching the lights from the vehicles travel through the woods and paths, one of them already coming full circle and passing the point he started from. I thought about calling for help, but I was too afraid to open my phone in fear that even the smallest amount of light would give away our location. After waiting for the lights of the vehicles to reach their farthest distance yet, we finally summoned the nerve to get up and try to run somewhere far enough from these people to safely make a call. We ran as hard and as fast as we could through the woods. Since their headlights gave away their location on these paths, we would hide again whenever we felt they were getting too close. Our available hiding spots were getting progressively worse as the woods became less dense, and the fear I felt waiting for one of them to drive past us while basically only being covered in leaves and plants may still be unmatched to this day. Finally, we emerged from the woods into the intersection of two main roads, far from where we started. We ducked down into the ditch to call for help. When I opened my phone, I noticed I had recent missed calls from one of our other friends, Connor, who we were supposed to meet up with after our long board excursion. I called him and frantically asked where he was. Luck was with us again. He hadn't given up on our plans despite us ignoring him, and he was only a few miles away, already heading in our direction. I gave him the names of the two streets we were near and explained that we needed to be picked up right away. He agreed to speed over to us while Justin and I waited in hiding. Thankfully, Connor arrived before any of those men did. We bolted into the back seats of his car, yelling for him to get out of there, and he took off. Relief doesn't begin to describe what I felt being safely driven home after everything I had just experienced. After explaining everything that happened to Connor, we ended up just moving on with our night and decided not to call the police. We figured they would be gone by the time any officer made it out there, and that we would only be putting ourselves at risk by admitting to breaking the law by taking those paths so late at night. I still have no idea what happened or who those people were. I've been told all kinds of theories from friends and family that have heard this story. Some think we walked right up to a huge drug deal. Justin and I later admitted to each other that when the revving started and we couldn't see, our minds both went straight to chainsaw-wielding horror movie serial killer. So I suppose it could have been much worse. Frustratingly enough, whatever those men thought we saw that made them want to catch us so badly, we never actually saw. We'll never really know, I suppose. This is the most terrifying thing that's ever happened to me, simply because it would have ended very differently if it wasn't for my dog, Spartan. It was around 6 or 7 years ago when I was around 14 or 15. There's a church behind my parents' house. They still live there, by the way. It wasn't a run-down or abandoned church. In fact, it was quite the opposite. It was the town Methodist church, and their parking lot was full every Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. They were friendly people, and on a couple of occasions asked my family to join them for service. My family was religious, but more in the I can talk to God from home kind of religious. I was starting to make my transition into atheism at this time. But something definitely was looking out for me that day. Call it God, call it coincidence, or call it just pure luck. At this time, my family had a big black Labrador retriever. He was a big boy, a little on the chunky side, but was still able to go on runs. He seemed intimidating to anyone who didn't know him, but he was the biggest goofball out there. This church behind our house had a wraparound parking lot. Basically, a paved road went around the whole building. My family and I often used the parking lot to do evening walks or bike rides, but mostly we used it to walk our dog. He was voice trained, you see, meaning we could walk him on a trail without a leash. He didn't care about people or other dogs when he was running out in the yard freely. He only ever cared if people were too close to the house while he was inside or in the backyard. He would often run ahead of us, but as soon as he couldn't see us anymore, or we called his name, he came running back to us before running ahead again. So often we would take him to the church after dinner, when the sun was starting to set, and let him go out on a run. On this particular day, it was just me and him. There had been service earlier that day, but it had left hours ago, and I know no one would be coming back anymore that day. It was maybe around 5 or 6 in the evening, and the sun was still up, but halfway through its descent in the sky. Like normal, I opened the back gate and my dog shot out ahead of me, running to the paved parking lot and waiting for me to catch up. For a bit of context, there was a tiny field between my house and the church, with a basketball court in it. As soon as I got close enough, my dog took off around the corner and I could hear him running ahead. But of course, like always, he would run back to make sure I was still there while we walked. There were two entrances to the church, the front entrance and the side entrance. The front one faced my house, meaning we could see people entering and exiting the building. The side entrance was just on the other side around the corner. Both entrances were glass doors, allowing people to see in and out of the doors. This is important for later. So we went towards the right, away from both of the entrances. We walked, or more like I walked, while my dog ran, and I played a bit of music from my phone. I felt comfortable and alone, so I was singing along softly to the music while I walked. Well, when I rounded the corner, coming towards the side entrance, I could see my dog off in the distance, passing the side entrance. I kept walking, and just as I was passing the doors, I looked to my left. Sitting there, squatting in front of the doors, was a person. They were right beside a bush, which at first hid them from my view. Luckily, I saw them first before they saw me, but it was almost right after I spotted them that they turned and looked right at me. I almost stopped in my tracks, but instead looked away quickly and kept walking. I couldn't tell if they were a man or a woman, and at first I thought they were a kid, whose parents had left them at church on accident or on purpose, I don't know. My brain was racing to all sorts of ideas, but I kept walking. At this point, I stopped my music and called my dog to me. Not sure if I should head home or walk around one more time. The church was in the middle of a lot of neighborhoods, so it was common to see people walking around, riding bikes, or parking in the lot when church was not in session. And once again, I thought it was a kid. Maybe they needed help. So around we went again, my dog none the wiser to the person I had seen. As we went around again, I clutched my phone in my hand and planned on what to do if I had to run. Most likely I could outrun the person, whoever it was, and make it home safely. But I was scared for my dog too. I had never seen him when facing someone dangerous, so I had no idea how he would react. While all these thoughts ran through my head, we rounded the corner again. I made sure to give a wide berth, but kept my eyes at the entrance. As I approached, I couldn't see anyone. Feeling some relief, thinking they had left, I loosened up a bit. I opened my mouth to call my dog.
Spartan, come eat.
My voice died in my throat when I saw them. The person was still there, still in the doorway. But now they were laying down on their stomach, their head in their arms. This time I did stop, more out of surprise than fear. My dog turned and ran happily up to me. He happened to look in the direction I was and saw the person too. With his tail still happily wagging, he trotted up to the person. As he approached, he slowed and lowered his head, sniffing. Right as my dog reached them, right when I was going to call him back out of fear of him attacking the person, they looked up. Their face was now right in front of my dog's face, and my heart pounded in my ears when I heard them say,
"What a nice doggy."
Right when the words left their mouth, my dog lost his mind. All the fur along his back stood up and he started barking more aggressively than I've ever heard him before. There was something wrong with this person, and my dog knew it. I called my dog back to me, wanting to keep him safe and to keep me safe. Being the good boy he was, he came back to me, but kept his eyes locked on that person, still barking, and fur still on edge. Not knowing what to do and frankly not thinking rationally, I muttered out a,
"I'm sorry, he's never done this before,"
and quickly started leading my dog back to the house. That person kept their eyes on me the entire time, until I was around the bushes and around the corner. As soon as I knew they couldn't see me, I sprinted towards the house, my dog running beside me. After getting inside, I went straight to my parents and told them what I saw. They seemed a bit concerned, but since they weren't doing anything wrong, they didn't do anything. End of the story, right? Well, not quite. That night I was in my bedroom playing on my phone. My room had two windows, one facing the neighbors and one facing the church's front entrance. I kept the curtains to that window open. I loved looking at the night sky from my bed, and since I was on the second floor facing the backyard, I found it highly unlikely for someone to get into my window. Still thinking about that person from before, I couldn't sleep. Suddenly, I had the strongest urge to get up and look out my window. Sitting up, I turned and glanced out the window. My heart jumped into my chest and I got up quickly to get a better look. There was a black silhouette of a person shuffling along the wall outside the church. The only light that was on was an overhanging light that was above the church doors, making it impossible to tell who it was, if it was the person from before. They were looking around, constantly looking around themselves. They were behind some bushes and flowers, meaning they were not walking on the sidewalk. They were looking for something, and after living there for 10 years, we had never seen someone act this way around our house before. Racing down the stairs to my parents' room, I busted in and told them I saw someone over at the church. They had just fallen asleep and sat bolt upright when I barged in. At first, they didn't comprehend what I said. But after repeating myself, they both jumped out of bed. My dad went to the back door and looked out across the yard towards the church. He saw nothing, but since I had never made up any stories like this before, he knew something was wrong. Grabbing a flashlight, my dad either bravely or stupidly charged into the night in his boxers and t-shirt, along with our dog. My mom and I went to the back door, watching as he searched. He rounded the corner towards the back of the church, and for a moment, he was gone. Not sure what to do, my mom and I waited, looking out into the dark for a sign of my dad or the intruder. First, we saw the dog running back towards the house. Then my dad followed behind, glancing behind him as he made his way back. As soon as he was close enough for us to hear, he shouted,
"Call the police. There's a busted window."
Working quickly, 911 already dialed on her phone, my mom hit call and called the police. Within minutes, there they were. Like five squad cars pulled up into the church's parking lot, sirens and lights blazing. While the situation was serious, I thought it was comical that almost all of the town's police pulled up for someone breaking and entering. To make a long story short, someone had broken into the church by smashing a window, and in the process cut their hands while climbing in. They proceeded to smear blood all over the church walls and stole a computer. They had left some time between me spotting them, my dad going outside, and the police showing up. After giving my statement and my awful description of the person I saw earlier, the police left. I couldn't sleep that night, and I kept finding myself looking out my window, waiting to see some shadow person tiptoeing around outside. Fast forward to the next morning, my mom called me into the kitchen. She told me they caught whoever it was that had broken into the church. She gave me her phone, asking,
"Is this the person you saw?"
Looking at the mugshot, my heart skipped a beat. Though I hadn't gotten a close look of whoever it was, all I knew was that they had glasses and short hair that kinda reminded me of Coconut Head from Ned's Declassified. The person who looked back at me from the screen was that person. Turns out they were a woman in their 40s, and they were very, very, very high on bath salts when the police caught them. During this time was when the news was constantly reporting cases of people taking bath salts and proceeding to eat other people's faces. This woman was extremely high on bath salts, and it was likely that she was extremely high when my dog and I came across her. That was why she was acting so weird, trying to hide and not doing a very good job at it, and why she didn't seem terrified when my dog first approached her. If I had been alone, maybe she would have been braver and approached me. If I hadn't noticed her, she could have easily hidden behind a bush and jumped me. If she had even just been crazier, she could have attacked me. Many things could have gone wrong that day. I could have had my face eaten off by a bath salt high woman. Or my dog could have gotten hurt trying to protect me from this woman. But thanks to my dog Spartan, the woman stayed away. And the only damage was a busted window and a freaky bloody scene inside the church. Thanks so much to our contributors, user Zangon595 and Pixel Donut, for sharing their stories with us. And a big thanks to Spartan for being such a good boy. Don't forget to check out patreon.com/nightmaresociety if you're interested in supporting the podcast. We have some fun stuff up there. And you can also find Nightmare Society merch on nightmaresociety.threadless.com. There's t-shirts, tanks, mugs, stickers, and so on. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.